So that's the neurological perspective. And now for something a bit more philosophical about who will grow up to be in the future. Because ask most kids about their plans for their future, and they'll be pretty certain about everything they will accomplish.
What do you want to be in the future?
A doctor. Make all the sick people better using my telescope.
Don't you mean stethoscope?
Yeah, stethoscope.
I just want to be a queen. I want to wear a dress made of diamonds, and I'm serious.
You're serious?
Yes.
These are voices from a popular web series called Recess Therapy, where they talk to kids about their lives, their advice for grown-ups, and the future.
I think the future is going to be like my dream.
What's your dream?
It's to be a parent. I'm going to take care of my children and make sure they don't get lost in big spaces. I think it's going to feel good.
Start to vote.
Do you think you would make a good president?
I don't think right now, but probably in the future.
I mean, doesn't that sound familiar? In the fourth grade, I said that I wanted to grow up to be an actress and that I was going to change my name to Hillary or Christina. At one point, my daughter told me she was going to be a neurologist and a baker at the same time. And if you ask journalist Shankar Vedantam when he was a child what the future held for him, he would have been just as sure of himself.
When I was a small kid, I thought I was going to be a soccer star, and I put all my hopes and energies into being a professional soccer player.
But as is the case for most of us,
that sadly did not come to pass because my talents did not match my enthusiasm when it came to soccer.
So in his 20s, Shankar thought he'd picked a more realistic path.
I studied engineering in southern India, and after I finished my engineering college, or as I was nearing the end of it, I thought I was going to get an MBA and follow a corporate track, which is very different from the world that I'm in today.
Shankar says that most people don't think their hopes and dreams will change much over the years. But actually, we grow to be fundamentally different people who want different things. Here he is on the TED stage.
When I was 22, I was a freshly minted electronics engineer in southern India. I had no idea that 3 decades later, I would be living in the United States, that I would be a journalist, and that I would be the host of a podcast called Hidden Brain. It's a show about human behavior and how to apply psychological science to our lives. Now, we didn't have podcasts when I graduated from college. We didn't walk around with smartphones in our pockets. So my future was not just unknown, it was unknowable. All of us have seen what this is like in the last 3 years as we slowly try and emerge from the COVID pandemic. If we think about the people we used to be, we can see how anxiety and isolation and upheavals in our lives and livelihoods, how this has changed us, changed our outlook, changed our perspective. But there is a paradox here. And the paradox is when we look backwards, we can see enormous changes in who we have become. But when we look forwards, we tend to imagine that we're going to be the same people in the future. Now, sure, we imagine the world is going to be different. We know that AI and climate change is going to mean for a very different world. But we don't imagine that we ourselves will have different perspectives, different views, different preferences. I call this the illusion of continuity. And I think one reason this happens is that when we look backwards, the contrast with our prior selves to who we are today is so clear. When we look forward, we can imagine ourselves being a little older, a little grayer, but we don't imagine fundamentally that we're going to be different people. And so those changes seem more amorphous.
The illusion of continuity. I mean, I can think of very sort of mundane ways that's happened to me. I never really liked spicy food. And if you had told me, oh, no, you're going to end up being a person who loves spicy food, I would not have believed you. Little did I know, pregnancy would change my taste buds. Mm-hmm. But you have demonstrated on your show that it's not just the little things, this inability or this, I guess it's a lack of imagination in some ways, that you will change. You will change who you fundamentally are and what you believe in. It can have huge ramifications. One of the stories that you tell is about a couple. I wonder if you could share that story.
Yeah, we featured the story of John and Stephanie Rinka, a wonderful story. They married when they were quite young, and then they traveled around the country. John became a basketball coach, and Stephanie became a nurse, and they were eventually living in a rural area, and Stephanie would pay house calls to people who were very sick, sometimes people who had terminal illnesses. And she would come back from these visits really shaken, and she would tell John that if she ever was struck by a terminal illness, she didn't want him to do anything that would prolong her suffering unnecessarily.
She would say, "John, just shoot me. Don't ever let me get to that point. Just shoot me." I heard that I don't know how many times.
As fate would have it, Stephanie, in fact, did fall sick with Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, when she was in her 50s. And she went downhill relatively quickly.
I was hanging my hat on. She knows what she's going to do. The most comfortable life until it's time to die, and then making sure she died with dignity. Dignity, peace, calm, they were all what I was working towards.
And the day came when she was no longer able to breathe on her own, and John rushed her to the hospital, where a nurse asked her, "Mrs. Rinka, would you like us to put you on a ventilator?"
And she nodded yes. And that's when my jaw dropped.
Stephanie wanted to be put on life support.
What? No. I just want to say, no, she doesn't. No, she doesn't want that. She said, yes.
John was so surprised by this that he asked her the next day. He said, "You know, Steph, is that really what you want?" And Stephanie said, yes. And the challenge here is that it's not that Stephanie was being inconsistent. I think it's really that Stephanie at age 35, you know, imagining what her future self would be like, imagining what it would be like to have a terminal illness, was not really able to put herself in the shoes of Stephanie at age 59, you know, suffering from a terminal illness and gasping for air.
I mean, what if Stephanie had been unconscious when her husband brought her to the hospital? What if she hadn't been able to advocate for her new thinking? I mean, the decision would have been made.
Yes, the decision would have been made. And if Stephanie had written out an advance directive, the advance directive would have said, you know, please do not put me on a ventilator, you know, do not prolong my suffering. But of course, the advance directive is Stephanie at age 35 or age 40 making plans for her future self. But what if we don't actually know who our future selves are going to be? That's actually kind of both an interesting thought, but also a terrifying thought, because throughout our lives, Manoush, we're constantly making plans for our future selves. We invest money and save for retirement because we have an image of the kind of people we're going to be in retirement. We propose marriage and get married to people because we imagine that we know what we will want 25 years in the future when we are married to this person. Mm. But if, in fact, we are different people in the future than we are today, we are making plans for a stranger who might look back at us with, you know, bewilderment or even resentment and ask us, what made you think that that is what I would want?
So I think there's a temptation here to quote the old bumper sticker, stuff happens, right? And shrug and be like, well, I don't know, what are you going to do? This is life. But actually, in your talk, you share three ideas that you think can help us with our future self. Can we talk about that? The first piece of advice is accepting this idea that you are going to be different in 30 years' time.
That's right. So if you buy the idea that you're going to be a different person in the future than you are today, perhaps the important question to ask is, what are things about ourselves today that perhaps we might wish to see changed? Are there elements to our personality, to our being short-tempered or impatient or unempathetic? Are there things about ourselves that we would like to change? And one of the questions then becomes, if you allow for the fact that you're going to become a different person, how do you help construct that person that you're going to become? And I think I like that idea very much because it suggests that we can be the authors of our future self, that we can actually construct this person we're going to become. The engine to do this is curiosity, which is that if we only are doing the things that we're used to doing, if we're only talking to the people who are already in us, in our circle of friends and family, we're never going to expand our horizons to imagine the people we might become. Mm. The second piece of advice that I had is to exercise humility, especially when it comes to expressing our opinions on various things. You know, social media platforms have become vehicles for grandstanding and accusation and malevolence sometimes. And so much of that, I think, is based on a false certitude that the way I think today is going to be the way that I think tomorrow. And if we had a little bit more humility, if we actually said, I think the way I think today, because my circumstances, my environment in some ways has conspired to shape who I am today in powerful ways, my environment is going to shape me to be a different person tomorrow. I might have very different views 1 month from now, 1 year from now, or 10 years from now.
I've given you a number of ways in which our future selves are going to be weaker and frailer than we are today. And that is true. That is part of the story. But our future selves are also going to have capacities and strengths and wisdom that we do not possess today. So when we confront opportunities and we hesitate, when I tell myself, I don't think I have it in me to quit my job and start my own company, or I tell myself, I don't have it in me to learn a musical instrument at the age of 52. Or I tell myself, I don't have it in me to look after a disabled child. What we really should be saying is, I don't have the capacity to do those things today. That doesn't mean I won't have the capacity to do those things tomorrow. So lesson number 3 is to be brave.
That's my favorite one, Shankar. This idea that our future selves won't be weaker, won't be less able, and that maybe we need to trust that we will maybe change for the better. Tell me what you think about that. Is there an example that comes to mind for you in your own life?
Yeah, you know, I think all of us who are parents have some vision of this, right? So, you know, your 6-year-old comes home in tears one day from school, and she thinks that, you know, her life has ended because she didn't get the part in her elementary school production of a play, and she's sort of heartbroken by it. And you understand this is only a passing breeze, that this too shall pass. In some ways, we don't bring that same empathy and compassion to ourselves, right? So we should tell ourselves when we're going through tough times, we are going to look back on in 10 years' time, and it's possible that we will remember those tough times with a smile and not a tear. I'm not saying that bad things don't happen to people, and I'm not saying that those bad things don't stay with people for a long time, but I think the smart thing to do is almost to treat ourselves the way we treat the children whom we love. Mm. And if you think about yourself that way, you can extend some of the same empathy you extend to a crying child to your own self when you come home at the end of the day and you're heartbroken about something.
Part of me feels like it's, you know, maybe it's futile trying to plan your life when there are new emotions and new weird circumstances that you can never predict.
Yes, that's right.
What's the point?
I think this is something that it's important for people of all ages, but I think especially young people to keep in mind, which is that, you know, we often freight ourselves with so many worries and we ask ourselves, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right choice? Am I going to the right college? Have I picked the right course? And the truth is that all of these things are going to change in such profound ways in the next 10, 20, or 30 years that the individual choices you make are going to matter less and less. This is not to say that we shouldn't care about anything. We absolutely should care about what's right in front of us. But things are going to change in remarkable ways. We are going to change in remarkable ways. And we and the world are going to be very different tomorrow than who we are today.
That's Shankar Vedantam, host of the podcast Hidden Brain. His most recent book is called Useful Delusions, The Power and Paradox of the Self-Deceiving Brain. We also heard from John Rinka from an episode of Hidden Brain and Julian Shapiro Barnum, host of the web series Recess Therapy. You can see Shankar's full talk at TED.com. On the show today, Future You. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back.